Please, gentlemen, help me if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where I've asked you to turn your Bibles, if you would. You be seated. Let's get our orchestra members where they need to be. I think I'm going to do just going to change gears just a little bit. I have up until this very moment, I think I was going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, but I believe that would be edifying for us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So I'm going to change it just a little bit. Want to help you, if you would, please, you help me review the six principles that come from 1 Timothy. And let's real quickly talk about that. Chapter 1, someone tell me what the theme of chapter 1 is. Brett? Sound doctrine. Let's say it together with him. The theme of chapter 1 is? Keeping the doctrine sound, because doctrine determines.
Yes,
see, Pastor, I already know that. I already know that thing. How are you doing? If I ask you to stand up right now, could you give me three verses on eternal security? Could you tell me three verses on baptism? That's doctrine. Can you tell me four verses on why someone should tithe and give an offering? That's doctrine. Could you tell me three verses on refuting Calvinism? That's doctrine. Pastor, I already know the theme of chapter 1. I'm talking about how we do it on that. Chapter 2, let's talk about that. What's the theme of chapter 2? Someone raise your hand and tell me real quickly. Yes, sir, Johnny?
Keeping your prayer and your personal walk with God a priority.
Yeah, keeping prayer and a personal walk with God a priority. That's chapter 2. It's a major theme of our college. I want to encourage every one of you to keep your doctrine sound and making prayer and your walk with God a priority. Pastor, I already know chapter 2. How are we doing? How is our prayer life? How is our walk with God? How are we doing? Did you spend time with the Lord today? We talked to the Father today? Have you kind of rushed through the first 4 or 5 hours of your day and you haven't even approached the Lord in prayer or praise? Chapter 3. What's chapter 3 about? Someone help me with that real quickly. Yes, sir.
Spiritual reproduction.
Reproducing yourself. That means find someone out there that you can win to Christ. Someone that is saved that you can disciple to spiritual maturity. Someone who is saved and mature to be trained for the things that God's trained you for. How are we doing on that? Have you been able to see people saved? Soul winning is talking to someone, getting engaged in a conversation with someone that could lead ultimately to the gospel presentation. Everyone I talk to, everyone you talk to, our thought should be, if they're not saved, I need to get engaged in the conversation that could lead them to hear the gospel. Because faith cometh by, and you can't get saved without faith. For by grace are you saved through
faith.
Are you leading someone to Christ? Are the people that you're winning to Christ, are they growing in the Lord? I was blessed last night to talk to a convert that I had led to Christ. Was in his living room and actually went to his kitchen table and showed him how to be saved 2 weeks ago. And he came to discipleship on Sunday, and I talked to him last night on the phone. I said, John, I said, thank you for being in discipleship. Glad you were there. I said, what do you think we need to do? He says, you know, I feel like that probably I finished my discipleship lesson 2 on baptism and 3 on baptism, and I've been reading through my New Testament, and I see in each of the Gospels, 3 of the Gospels, that Jesus got baptized. And Jesus got baptized, and he didn't have any sin, but I have sin. And he said, I think I probably ought to get baptized. What do you think? I said, I think you can. He said, can we do it Sunday morning? I said, well, you can do it Sunday morning. It'd be great, but it's fun to see people grow in the Lord.
Amen.
And that brings a joy that's very special to you, to reproduce, to follow up with new converts, talk to another man led to Christ here 2 Sunday afternoons ago. His name is Jack Isbell, and being able to sit down with him and share the gospel with him, accepted Christ. I talked to him this morning on the phone, and he didn't come Sunday. He spent all day in Dwight, Illinois, fixing a friend's plumbing problem and difficulties they had there. But he said, Pastor, I'll be there Sunday. I'm sorry, I should have been there. He goes, I can tell something's different inside of me since I got saved. That's a joy, but I got to keep working on it. Got to keep working on those folks. And you need to do the same thing spiritually. reproducing yourself is so vital, so important. And whether we are teachers in the college or our staff members here at the school, or you're a freshman or a graduate student, you're a senior, listen, our responsibility is to keep our doctrine sound, prayer and our walk with God a priority, and then winning others to Christ. If you don't, you'll get squirrely. If you stop talking to people about Christ, you stop discipling someone, you'll find all kinds of problems all over the world. Something about soul winners, they keep passionate. They can overcome. Brother Rick Martin told me that. He said, Pastor, one thing I try to do is just train soul winners. Because soul winners will watch the nursery. Soul winners don't give you problems. People that are engaged in the lives of people, winning the lost and helping save people, grow in the Lord, they don't have enough time to problem. To be problematic. Stay at that situation. Hey, chapter 4, what's chapter 4 about? Yes, ma'am, Rachel? Yeah, being a godly example. Because our sermons will whisper, but what shouts? Our life shouts. You know, whatever we say is one thing, but people don't trust you. They won't trust what you tell them. And the way they learn to trust you is by watching you. Watching how you talk, watching how you live, how you love, watching what your attitude is, watching your purity. Those are things that people watch. And every servant of God needs to be a good testimony. You got to pay your bills on time. If you don't pay your bills, find out. Go get some things straightened out. People are watching that. You got to work hard at work. You can't afford to goof around and not be a good employee. I talked to a man the other day at Home Depot who, I think we have 5 or 6 of our guys who work for him. He says, I've never seen guys like you guys here. I didn't put that together. I didn't put together those Hiles Anderson College students who went to First Baptist Hammond. But when I came to your church the other day and I saw that church, I thought, that's the connection. And I don't know if he's saved or not. Don't know about that. But he said, I never seen. The guys are frugal. They ride together. They oftentimes are in the back at their lunch break eating sack lunches. And when other people are going out and spending more money, he said, I've been impressed by that. I'm impressed because they work hard. Because I wish I could get every one of our employees to be like those 5 guys. He says, killing me because some of them are going away for the summer. So I wish I could get those guys replaced because they're on my afternoon crew, they're the best. You know what? That guy is much more apt to listen to the gospel. When one of our men invited him to come, and he found out the guys that went to Hiles Anderson go to First Baptist Church, he says, I need to go to that church. I want to see what's going on there. Great testimony, because your sermons whisper, but your life shouts. Chapter 5, help me with that one real quickly. Yes, sir, John. How to treat God's people revolves around 2 words, relationships and? Say it again with me, relationships. How to treat God's people. And when people are treated right and properly, I was talking to a man the other day, and he is at a church right now rehabbing emotionally and physically and spiritually, and his wife is having to rehab because they went to a church where they were mistreated. Because someone didn't understand 1 Timothy chapter 5, how we're supposed to take care of our brothers and sisters, and how we're supposed to treat our older men like we would treat our dad, and our older women like we treat our mother, and the younger men like we treat our brother, and the younger ladies like we treat our sisters with all purity. And people are having to lick their wounds because somebody went through Bible college, somebody went through the ministry and didn't figure out chapter 5, that people are people. And they're not your people, they're God's people. I was talking to one of my children recently about that because they were unkind to someone else. And we had to deal with them and get them on the phone and ask them to apologize. I called the family's parents. And I said, this is Pastor Wilkerson, and I'm here with my child, and they have been disrespectful and unkind to your child. And on behalf of her mother and I apologize for her behavior. Now I'd like to, it wasn't Lydia. And then I said, okay, now it's time for you to talk to them, and she would like to talk to your daughter. And explain to her how that God's dealt with her heart about that. She's asked God to forgive her, and she needs to talk to your daughter about that. Is that fun? That's not fun. It's miserable. But I want to make it miserable when they're young and dumb so they don't do that when they're 40. talked to my child about that. I said, you remember when Saul of Tarshish was going to Damascus? And he got stopped by whom? Who stopped him? Yeah. He saw a great light and he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou who? Me. And then he asked, who are you? I can't see you, but who are you that I've been hurting? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. What can I learn from that thought right there? Someone tell me, what can you learn from that situation, Rachel? When you hurt another child of God, you're hurting Jesus. And he takes it pretty serious. When you are hurtful to your roommate, when you're sharp with someone, especially if they're a child of God, Jesus says, that I take that personal. Be very careful what you send an email. Be careful what you text. Be careful with your name calling. Be careful with your criticism. All that stuff is in me. So they're tough. They know how to handle it. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But just remember, Jesus takes it personal. Treating people right. Then chapter 6 has to do with what? Someone raise their hand and tell me chapter 6 right over here, David. Financial management. Working diligently. Associate with other people carefully. Live simply. Give generously. That's important. I want to talk to you this morning because next week is Missions Conference, and I'm praying that God would lay on the hearts of many of you to say yes if God wants you to go. I wish that every one of us would surrender to the mission field if God wants me to do it. Most of us will not. Many of us would not. But what a blessing it would be if all of us would say, Lord, I'm open. If that's what you want for me, I'll do it. I am surrendered. Not everyone's going to go to the mission field, but everybody will struggle with the possibility. This world is big. This world is dark, and it needs the gospel of Christ. It needs somebody to go and put a flashlight in the darkness. I saw two of our graduates this week, and they served the Lord in Bulgaria. Bulgaria's, the hearts of the people are about as cold as a winter is there. It's difficult. But they have been there for 11 years. And they have knocked hard, cold hearts. They have gone through some very difficult times. But I watched their video as I saw person after person, gypsies, Bulgarians, say, and I got saved, and I got saved, and I got saved. Men, women, children, older folks. Some people got saved and he showed them getting baptized, and after they got baptized and saved and baptized, they passed on before they could make a video to say, I got saved. I thought about that. Those two young people were right here in this room just a few years ago, and now they're shining light on a dark planet. Dark hearts in those dark hearts, and each of those people saying, thank you for sending my missionary. Thank you for going. But I want to just take a few moments with you this morning, a little bit of a left-hand turn here. But I want to talk to you about, I think, one of the most important things to keeping a missions focus. And that is to begin giving to missions. To begin giving. I don't know what your future entails. But I tell you one thing that's very clear in the Bible. Where your treasure is, there your... If your heart is going to be open to world evangelism, you got to start with putting some treasure there. Linda's here this morning. I love my precious wife. And the way that I keep the fire burning for my love for her is I try to keep investing in her. I want to invest time. I want to invest. I went to a store the other day and I bought 3 skirts for her and 2 blouses. And I brought them home to her because, and to my amazement, they all fit. I picked the right ones, and I brought them her, and that's not a huge amount of money, but I bought those, and I am going to keep investing in Linda, investing time and attention, because where my treasure is, there my, I want Linda to have my heart. I talked to my sons this morning, Talked to my daughter last night, Lydia, on the phone, and I'm grateful to have the chance to do that. But whenever I can think about them or write them a note or text them, I want to do that. I want them to know I'm investing time and attention, because where my treasure is, there my... Many years ago, I had the chance to be handed a faith promise commitment card. And I began giving. I didn't understand what I'm telling you today. I didn't understand that. I don't remember hearing about the treasure in your heart. But I just got challenged, and God was good enough to me to let me be exposed to the fact that I could do something while I was 17. Every week, so that people around the world could hear the gospel of Christ. I know that right now, most of you, you need every dime that you get, and some. Some of you, your school bill is in the rears. You've got to figure out, you're praying right now and fasting that God will help you with that. And I think that these are difficult times, and God's going to show up. But I think consistently giving every week something for the cause of world evangelism is critical for many reasons. I'm going to share that on Sunday morning. Some of you are not in the Sunday morning service, but I believe at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs. And I have a lot of needs. You have a lot of needs. And a way that God can help meet your needs, whether it be a spouse, wisdom, protection from sin, protection from temptation, that's a need I have. It's a need you have. Protection from materialism, that's a need I have. Is God says, I'll supply your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But one of the key prerequisites of that is learning to give to missions. And to give consistently. Apostle Paul said, let every man lay by in store on the first day of week as God has prospered him. I think every week when you go to church, you ought to be ready to give something. Not only your tithe that belongs to God already, an offering to God through your local church, but you ought to do something above and beyond for world evangelism. I believe it's life-changing. I believe if you'll do it, you'll never regret doing that. And many Christians don't get it, and they don't understand that. Dave Ramsey, he's a financial guru, and I don't have anything against him personally. And I believe that it's good to get out of debt. And I love the fact that he helps people get out of debt. One thing I don't like is I think sometimes he says if you're in debt, you should not give anything above your tithe. Just do your tithe and don't give anything until you get out of debt beyond that to the Lord. And I don't think it's wise advice. If it takes you 10 years to get out of debt, that's 10 years you had nothing to do with getting people the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's 10 years you've wasted in giving something. And it's faith promise is something God helps give you, so he'll give through you what he'll not give to you. And if you could get this when you're young, you know, people who talk about retirement and investing, you know what they always tell you? Can someone tell me what they always tell you about investing for your retirement? Anybody have an idea? Yes, sir.
Start as early as possible.
Start as early as possible. Start when you're young. Because compoundedly, you will have a greater amount of money to retire on or to have choices when you're older. Do you know the Bible tells us that same thing? If you'll start when you're young, learning to give to world evangelism when you're in college, then you have a long lifetime or a longer lifetime to invest for eternal good. And you'll enjoy that far longer than you'll enjoy a retirement. You'll enjoy that for the next 30 million years. And it seems like it doesn't ever go away. Whenever I give to our missions, that's money that turns instantly immortal. When I hand my money to a Dunkin' Donut lady or a Dunkin' Donut guy, that's stuff I'll enjoy today, and I'll never enjoy it past that time. When I put my car payment or I put that stuff I'll use for this lifetime, but it doesn't transfer into eternity. What I give to the Lord does do that. And the Apostle Paul challenged the church at Corinth. He said, I'm going to tell you there's five things that you might want to consider when it comes to giving to missions. Now, listen, Just in case you would think, oh, Pastor, you're just trying to get more money for our church. You know, the money that comes in for missions, number one, doesn't go to our church. It goes through our church to the world. And if you give to your home church, I hope you'll give your missions giving through your home church. But that has nothing to do with that. And our finances at the church will not make or break based upon a college student's salary. That is not what's going to make or break. But I would love for you to get involved in something I think that is just foundational. Next week you'll be handed a faith promise commitment card on Sunday. And you don't have to do anything about that. But the thing is about faith promise commitment, if you don't want to do it, don't. If you just want to just to tithe and that's it, then you're going to go into eternity owing God nothing, but investing also nothing. I've had people my entire ministry who all they do is tithe, and they just give a little bit extra, just a little bit extra. And they're honest people, but they're not the most blessed people. And financially, they'll have wished they had given more aggressively. Because remember, tithing is not giving. Tithing is returning, paying, bringing what belongs to God already back to Him. But giving to missions is something you do above and beyond that. And I think it is a game changer. I think it's a game changer. It'll make you a better staff member, a better missionary. It'll make you a better pastor's wife. It'll make you a better Sunday school teacher. I talked to a pastor recently, and he said, I cannot believe our school teacher's generosity. Somewhere along the line, that girl learned to give to missions. And whenever it was time for her to get married, her fiancé came to the pastor and said, this girl's putting me to shame. She gives so generously. And they're both really class act, two young people. I think one of the reasons that God attracted that young man to that girl, he didn't even know that until he was about ready to get married and found out she was such a giving person. And he's a good young man. Is because she had a need. She had a need for a good spouse, and God put two people together really good. I think it's one of the reasons because of giving. I think it's a game changer. So with that in mind, we'll read a couple verses. I'll make five comments about the verses, and we'll be done. Let's look at it real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. Can you look at it with me? Ladies, read verse number 1 with me, would you please, girls? Moreover, brethren, we do you wit. Men, verse 2. For to their power, and I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. That means they pleaded and begged that we would receive the gift to take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And to us by the will of God, and so much he desired Titus that it has begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Verse number 7, everyone read it with me. Therefore, as ye abound in I speak not by commandment. By the way, he says you don't have to do it. I speak not by commandment. This is not something you have to do. But by the occasion of the forwardness of others, because others gave so you could get saved, to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give you my advice. For it is expedient for you. I love that. Look at verse number 10. Herein I give you my what? This is just a suggestion. Say, Pastor, you're getting me fired up. You're always talking about giving. Forget it. If that's your attitude, then don't. I would suggest please tithe. Because that you owe. But if you don't want to give, it's just advice. It's just a suggestion. It's a suggestion based upon 35 years of doing it. And I'm really glad I did it. Really glad. That I got involved with this, I guess 33 years. And based upon my experience, I just, if I get a good deal, I want to tell people, oh, it was a good deal. If I found gas for $1.97, I'd be telling everybody about it. If I found that they were giving Dunkin' Donuts coffee half price, I'd tell you, if you like Dunkin' Donuts, go down to that thing, they get half price. I'm just telling you, for 33 years, I bought into God's plan, and it's worked for me. And I'm really glad I did it. I just give you some advice. That's what Paul says. This is not a speaking by commandment. You don't have to do it if you don't want to do it. Number two, it's my advice. For this is expedient for you. It's good for you to do it. Say, Pastor, are you trying to help the church? No, I'm not trying to help the church. I'm trying to help you. I want you to marry right. I want you to have what you need when you need it. I want you to be able to avoid sinful situations. I want you to be able to resist temptation. I want you to have what you need when you need it. And God says, that God will supply all your need. He'll do that. It's in response to someone's willingness to submit. And say, Lord, what would you want me to do? And I just say, wherever you are, start somewhere. It's my advice. It's expedient for you. Look at the rest of the verse, if you would, please. Verse number 10. Who begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. And then it goes on to other things. And I'll just stop with that. But I want to encourage you this week to take time and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Paul used several motivations. He used the Macedonians, people who suffered, and yet they were happy. People who were poor, and yet they were generous. He used Titus and said, hey, listen, God sent you someone in your life to challenge you with that, to give, whoever that may be. If it's me, I'm glad I can be that person. If you want to hear from someone else, hear from somebody else. But this church got Titus to come and remind them, hey, you're good at soul winning, you're good at believing, you're good at working hard, you're good at loving us, be good at this grace also. Be good at giving to missions too. And then he gave the model of Jesus, who was rich yet became poor for us, that we through his poverty might be rich. And then he tells them that the motivation is because someone gave. How many of you, the first time you came to church, you rode to church on a bus? Would you stand to your feet real quickly? The first time you came to church, you came to church on a bus. Go ahead and stand up real quickly. There are several former bus kids who are here. Aren't these a great, aren't they fine students? Every one of them. I love you, and I'm glad that you not only stayed on that bus, but you came and continued on serving Christ. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, everyone that stood, they did not put the fuel in that bus. Somebody else did. Someone else gave. How many got saved in a church building? Would you stand if you would, please? You got saved in a church building. I did. You were actually at a church building when you got saved. Do you know all of us standing, and I'm in that group, I didn't pay for the utilities for that building. The light was on, but I didn't have anything to do with that. How many were saved and you may be seated. How many were, and none of you guys did either, right? How many of you got saved because a preacher preached? You were in a service and the preacher preached, and that's when you got saved. Would you stand if you would, please? Most of the people that were preaching were being paid. They were able to be subsidized by their church so that you could hear, or at a camp, or at a youth conference. But you and I didn't. I'm in that group too, but we did not pay that pastor. Thank you. May be seated. One of the reasons we give is because someone else gave before us. It's only natural we should pass it on, that we should keep it going, that we should put fuel in other buses, so that someone else could do that. It's only fair that we should keep paying our tithes and offerings so the lights can go on for someone else to hear the gospel. It's only right that we should continue to print gospel tracts. Tracts don't get printed for free. But those tracts I give out, someone else bought them. It's just natural we could do it. But also it proves the sincerity of our love. If we love, we'll give. At this stage of your life, most of you cannot give aggressively like you will in time to come. But you want to give aggressively later if you don't give something now. You got to get the ball rolling. You got to start giving above your tithe. And if you're not a tither, please, that's where you got to start. That's the training wheels. That's the minimum. If we don't do that, we're stealing from the Lord. So if you say, Pastor, I'm not even a tither, then start there. And maybe next year or next few months, you can start giving to missions beyond that. But at least start there. But if you're already a tither, you need to start doing something because your heart is going to go where your investment goes. And you want God's to have your heart. And we know what God loves. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You need to have a global vision. I need to have a world vision. Because your world, my world, is very small. So I'm pleading with you on this next week. The Bible tells us, I remember hearing this quote from Brother Charles Keene. He said that giving to missions is not a matter of wealth, it's a matter of willingness. Can you say that with me? Missions giving is not a matter of wealth, it's a matter of. And the reason we're having a missions conference is to work on our willingness. What am I willing to do? It's not about how much money you have. God can give through you what He'll not give to you. Sometimes I've had people commit to missions giving, and in 1 week they got their whole missions commitment given to them for 1 year. That's happened to me about 2 or 3 times. People told me, Pastor, I put my commitment down. I could not believe it. The next week, the whole year was paid off. So I just kind of encouraged it and did some little more. I just kept giving that and doing what God had me to do. God is able to give through you what He'll not give to you. But I'm asking you during this next few days, staff, faculty, pastor, pastor's wife, young people, ask God to work in your willingness. Ask God to help you. Do something. Don't stop at nothing. Don't stop at the tithe. And you may have to start small, but do whatever you decide to do. Everyone does it. You do it because you get to do it. You make a commitment, and you do what you say you're going to do. Let me encourage you to do that, okay? I believe I've helped you today if you listen to me. Not because of who I am, but because these principles are eternally bound by God's Word Himself. And you want to have God's Word. He knows a lot more about eternity than I know. That's why He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because He knows about heaven. And He knows you're going to need. The only way you have deposits is the only way you have money in account is if you make deposits. And you got a bank here and you got a bank in heaven. Keep making deposits. It'll make you much more heavenly minded as well. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the chance to be in chapel today.